Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Years ago, when the internet was first starting to get going in the e-commerce scene and, you know, people were coming up with websites day after day and just new ones, one after the other, a website came along called Red Smoosh. And the idea was that you could take a whole bunch of red stuff that might have been in your house and put it all together into one little glump, and you would have this thing called Red Smoosh. It was funded for about $4 billion, and unfortunately, they were one of the first to go in the dot-com crash. Well, someone has taken that idea and, well, no, okay. So I was kidding about that.
Domain.
Yeah.
Just bought the domain.
No, but no, I'm talking Red Smoosh. You, Travis, have developed Red Swoosh, which is completely different.
That's true, and then the ooh part.
The ooh, yes. Yeah, big ooh. So why would I be going ooh over Red Swoosh versus the Red Smoosh of yesteryear?
Well, I can't really speak much for the Red Smoosh, but it's dead, and it's, you know, sounds really bad, your description, you know. But, you know, Red Swoosh, we basically give website owners, webmasters, web developers the ability to distribute really large files, large video clips, even streaming video, without having to pay for bandwidth. And all they have to do to make that happen is add edn.redswoosh.net to the front of their URLs. And for those of you who are sort of techie, it's very similar to optimizing your links, except people who are using Red Swoosh, they're swooshing their links. Do that, you put it back on your web page. When your users click, they pull from peers instead of from a server.
So isn't this kind of like a BitTorrent?
Well, a lot of people make that comparison. Red Swoosh started in 01. It was, you know, we've been launching sites and lots of folks have built on top of Red Swoosh since then, which is well before BitTorrent. But it's a similar concept in that when you click on a link, you pull from peers instead of from the server. The difference is a couplefold. Is one, you don't have to set up a tracker. You don't have a special file type. Our stuff's totally integrated into HTTP. So if you're just an average blogger and not really techie, it's really, really simple to just swoosh your links. And number two is because we have a central, you know, what our back end is what you might call in the BitTorrent world, you might call it a tracker of sorts. We have like the Uber universal tracker, is that there's only one. And so because of that, we're able to do a lot better job when you're pulling from peers and making sure that you pull from peers that are close by, and we don't have to let go of a connection or not index folks who might have downloaded yesterday. Right? In the BitTorrent world, if 100,000 people downloaded yesterday and only 10 are downloading right now, you're pulling from those 10. In this Red Swoosh world, if 100,000 people downloaded yesterday and there's only 10 going right now, those 10 going right now have 100,000 different locations to choose from when they're pulling the data down, which allows much faster throughput going in, meaning much better download speed, and it also means much better reliability, and we don't have to abuse users on the upload side. Is that when you are downloading on BitTorrent, and I think, you know, a lot of people have witnessed this, the upload gets hammered because when you're on, that's the only time they get you. And that's the only time they get uploaders, so they try to get as much as they can. And so we don't have that issue because we have this centralized system.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
So I'm sorry not to interrupt, but I mean, with everything you say, I have like five more questions to ask.
Okay.
Is this software that we have to install in order for this to work?
So I'll take that one. So when you click on the Swoosh link, if you don't have the Red Swoosh plugin, you'll be asked to install it. That's correct. It's very similar to sort of like Flash in that it doesn't have a GUI. It doesn't have a UI on it. Once you've sort of installed it, then it sits in the background and makes sure that you get the data in an efficient manner. So, yes, there is software that the users do get when they click on their first Swoosh link.
Hmm. Now, is the file, since it's not like BitTorrent, I'm not necessarily sharing it, once I've downloaded the file, is that connection still open with the server? Is that how you're able to I guess, keep the speed up?
So what happens is that when you download the file, you then instantly become a sharer of that file. doesn't mean you're going to be uploading right away. But what it means is that you're available for uploading. And you have one connection into our back end, which is similar to like an IM system. It's the messaging system. And so, yeah, we see that particular piece of content was downloaded through Swoosh and is available. And when your machine is idle, that's when the uploads are possible from your connection.
So when it's not doing anything, then,
essentially.
Okay, so then you're able to speed things up.
That's correct. Hmm. And so we're actually using, one of our websites that we launched with, they put their own sort of language around the install prompt. And they called it recycling unused bandwidth. And that's sort of how we look at it, is that when your connection isn't being used, that's when the uploads can happen. Once you start using your machine, your PC, it basically will back off. And so it's very polite to the user. We want to make sure that users control their machine, they own their machine, we respect that, and we want to be as polite of software as possible.
So in exchange for downloading a file faster than you could without having it red swooshed, if you will, you have to allow the file to essentially communicate back to your server to be more fastly downloaded by someone else? I know I didn't word that right, but I'm just trying to get a...
I mean, yeah, basically, when you click, you're pulling from 30 different PCs that have it, that are essentially idle, and that means that when your PC is idle, that you'll also be... That particular file that you chose to download will also be available to the network.
Wait a minute, what if I rename the file or move it? Does it know where it's at, or...
No, okay. we sort of let go at that point.
Okay.
We just say, that's cool, There's
okay.
such massive redundancy on our network that it's no big deal.
Okay. So aren't you worried about privacy advocates coming after you? People about, and we're obviously talking about something that people are sensitive about, their internet connection, and I can only imagine all the spyware folks just being up in arms.
Sure. So, I think what's most important when you're distributing software is that you're very straightforward. First, I guess we have three tenets, right? One is transparency. So that means, first is knowledge. Like, what does your software do? How does it work? Two is transparency, is that while it's running and it's doing something, you can see it. You see what it's doing while it's doing it, and you see exactly what it's doing. And three is control, is that you actually have control over what it does. You can shut it off if you like, or you can leave it running. That's really up to you. And really, at the end of the day, we respect users, and we want to make sure that they like our app. If they don't, we're not going to exist as a company very long.
Mm.
Now, we've made it 5 years, and we've done pretty good. And so I think it speaks to the fact that at the end of the day, we're respecting users' privacy. We're respecting the fact that they own their machine and they should control it. And we've been very upfront about what the client does, and we're very clear about how to turn it off or how to uninstall, etc. So it's not spyware. We don't watch what people do. We have a whole page on our website called the Red Swoosh Bill of Rights, which we believe is, what rights users should expect when downloading software, and what we basically uphold to make sure that they get that with us.
Hmm. No, so where's the money?
So there's
Let me guess. I'm just going to guess here. you hook into the PayPal IPN, and so every time I download something, I get charged.
That's not exactly it.
No.
But it's a good idea.
Isn't that a good idea, though? I don't know. Maybe I can make $1 million there.
The way we do it, we've done it for a few years now, right? Like, we've been around, right? So, Ubisoft is a customer. MTV Networks is a customer. We just signed the NBA recently. And so the way we make money with the big companies is that they pay us a flat fee, essentially pennies per user per month. And we give them unlimited delivery on our network.
Hmm.
And with the small guys, we say, hey, look, it's free. And one out of every five clicks before you get to your download, so you'll click on a link, and that link will take you to a page that basically is an interstitial ad and says continue on to download. So one out of every five clicks will have an interstitial page in front of the download.
Okay. So you're going to start getting into the video blogging and podcasting business pretty soon, I'd imagine.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's our sweet spot, because a lot of folks, you know, and if you're at BloggerCon or you're at, you know, even at GnomeDex, right? A lot of folks, a lot of the blogging space, I mean, people want to put up files. They want to put up rich content. They don't always have the money to do it. And so we want to enable a whole set of folks to get really rich media sites going, you know, do things that billion-dollar companies do when you're just a small guy. And we want to enable that. We think that's one of the sweeter spots for what Red Swoosh does.
What about browser caching? I mean, in the sense that, I mean, you may get, again, this may get a little tricky, but, you know, if I've already downloaded a web page and it's sitting in my cache as just static files that, you know, I'm not necessarily using, I mean, is there a possibility of making that faster? Are there too many privacy issues that surround that?
Well, what do you mean? So
sharing a browser cache.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a possibility, but I think, you know, once you get the, I guess you could technically do it, but then I think you're right. It's like, what do you share and what don't you share? What pages do you want to keep private? Which pages don't you want to keep private? In our case, you know, the stuff that we're delivering isn't personalized data. It's, you know, an NBA highlight film, right?
Okay.
Or a Ubisoft game.
Demo, yeah.
You know, if you want to get your financial records, there's no reason for it to go through the Swoosh because there are no peers that have it.
Yep.
So.
All right. So this only works in Windows then?
So it works in Windows. If you're on a Mac right now, if you click on a Swoosh link, it will just take you to Origin. You'll just pull from the server. But we'll have a Mac client before the end of the year.
Sure. And, that's what they all say. You know, there are companies that have been saying that since 1984.
Well, you know, all I can say is it's hard, right? I mean, building an application for a whole other platform is difficult. And it just takes time and it takes resources. The good thing is that we're finishing up a Linux distribution right now, and porting from Linux over to the Mac side of things is actually not going to be too terribly difficult.
I'd imagine if what OS X is based in FreeBSD.
Yeah.
Which so isn't exactly Linux, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, and look, I heard that loud and clear. I talked to Weiner over at the GnomeDex. I mean, he said, what about Mac, and what about BitTorrent? And so I said, on the Mac side of things, it's really simple. We'll have it out before the end of the year, and you have my word. And if you want to do a Q&A on our web forum on our site, let's go. Let's rumble. Let's do it. And then number two was on BitTorrent. I'm like, yeah, he's, you know, Weiner makes a good point. You know, BitTorrent is a standard, and or at least it's becoming one in some fashion. And so, you know, from Red Swoosh's perspective, why not support that protocol as well? Why not have a Swoosh torrent application where you click on a torrent link, Swoosh can handle that, and when you click on a Swoosh link, Swoosh can handle that as well.
So are you going to work with a ULaw torrent? I don't know if it's called uTorrent, but it's basically the ULaw symbol.
Huh, I've never seen that.
Yeah, you go to uTorrent.com.
Are you talking about the little muse symbol?
The muse symbol, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm not sure exactly what those guys do, but it's sort of like, you know, think about the MP3 players back in the day. It was like, at first, you had the Liquid Audio player, which just played its thing, and then you had the Winamp player that just played MP3, or, you know, you had all these different things, and eventually everybody supported everything.
Well,
that's kinda
for the most part, I still have to...
For the most part, that's true, and it's almost like we're going backwards at this point, right, in some ways. But you know what I'm saying, is that from our perspective, we should be able to support all those protocols out there. If somebody clicks on a link, they should be able to get it. And we just want to provide a very fast, high-performance network for people to get their content.
So what are you announcing this week, then, if you say you've been around since 2001?
So a couple things. One is making it super easy to Swoosh your links. We've sort of just taken it to the next level. It used to be you had to get an account, you had to, like, sign this form with me. It was basically Web 1.0. We had a brochureware site, and I was just doing business with large companies. We're rolling it out to the smaller folks out there that just want to Swoosh their stuff for free. So that was number one. Number two is we've built a whole JavaScript API, which means we give our customers JavaScript calls that go directly into our client, or local host, and they can build download management widgets. In fact, we have a bunch on our site where you click download, pause, resume, sync to device, everything you would expect in like an iTunes, in an iTunes player, you can actually now put in your own web page and put your own presentation layer on it, all in HTML. The JavaScript calls, instead of going to a server, go to our client, and they tell our client whether to download a file, or whether to pause, or whether to remove a file.
You know, I've got the killer app for you. The next thing you need to develop, and you want traction? Are you serious about getting traction in the podcasting and video casting space?
I am. I'm dead serious about it.
Do you want to know the secret?
Talk to me.
Yeah, I'm serious now. I'm not kidding.
No, and I'm listening.
If you want to win, you have to develop a podcasting client integration plugin with Windows Media Player 11. Because Microsoft's not going to do it. And people are looking for it, myself included.
Okay.
If you want to win, mark my words, the first company to do that and do it well is going to win. Microsoft's not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
My first question to you is, what do you want in that little plugin?
Something like iTunes, only that doesn't suck.
Okay.
So for instance, I think that the Windows Media Player is 11 is certainly better than 10. That doesn't mean it's, you know, light years better.
Right.
But if I need it to work like iTunes in the sense that it's simple, I need to be able to say, okay, I want to subscribe to this podcast. Or even Photocast. I mean, because the Windows Media Player 11 will allow you to view photos, videos, audio. It's multimedia. So right now with iTunes on the Windows platform, you can't synchronize photos. You can't synchronize images. I could do it like through a PSP, through the PSP Media Manager, but that sucks. It's horrible. The software's bad. The great thing about Windows Media Player is they've already kind of built the framework. It's just they need to go the extra mile and allow for my kind of content management. I mean, Urge is great if I want to listen to the latest Erykah Badu album or, you know, Sade or whatever Ponzi wants to listen to at that moment. But if I want to listen to the latest, you know, episode of, I don't know, you name the show, I can't do it easily within Windows Media Player. I have to go to my news aggregator and go through that, and it's like clumsy. If I want to listen to audio or video or, you know, do that kind of management, and especially synchronizing it with my device, I want to do it all within the Windows Media Player.
Yeah.
So we need an extension that's going to allow people to easily subscribe to their favorite, you know, podcast from within the window and manage them effectively, podcast, videocast, photocast, right there within the Windows Media Player. And once you've got that gateway, swoosh them.
Yeah. Well, then it's easy. Right?
Then it's easy. It's done. And you want to talk about a network that's going to be automatically faster.
Well,
just,
you know,
by default, because you'll download your podcast to a folder, you're not going to move them. You may delete them, but you're not going to move them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's also interesting, right, is that the podcasters themselves, you know, they often don't want you to go to a different place to manage all your stuff. They want to keep you as a captive audience and sort of cruising through the content that they have. So let me just throw this out here, and I want to hear your feedback, right, is that we basically provide those podcasters with a widget that basically where users can it's this full-on download manager of all of their stuff, all the content that's available, all the stuff that's already on their machines, the whole nine, progress bars, everything, and they can provide it as a little widget in their web page that all users get to see.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, to be able to, like, click here to download all our episodes or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd like that. I need that, actually, for people. People have asked for it. And, and we don't, you know, there's currently no way of doing it. I mean, it's just no manageable way of doing it.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I think, you know, I really do believe, and I think podcasters are more than anything are going to want statistics, and as long as you have some type of basic statistics engine that you're running it through, I mean, hey, you know, I'm looking at this from a couple angles. One, Microsoft has kind of failed us in this respect. And I don't quite know why. I mean, I understand that podcasting is kind of this fringe thing right now, but when I walk into an Apple store and see blogging and podcasting as one of the first banners when I walk in, you know, there's an allure to that. There's that buzzworthiness allure to seeing that associated with a product that is, quite honestly, leading the industry. And Microsoft's not doing anything to address it. So you have an opportunity. You have a golden opportunity. One, for branding of Red Swoosh. Two, helping podcasters with their bandwidth. I mean, and if, especially if you can, you know, provide some amount of statistics of the number of people that are actually downloading through that link.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous help. And of course, you know those statistics, and you just attribute it back to, you know, you should be able to do like Technorati does, you know, to prove you are who you are, have them step through a process of doing something with a website.
Mm-hmm.
They should. Anybody who's into podcasting should be able to figure it out. Or they know someone who could figure that out, the authentication layer. And then most importantly, you're providing a value to all the Windows people who don't want to use iTunes.
Yeah. No, and the thing is that, you know, when you get to the widget part of things, is that you then give a blogger or a vlogger the ability to reach both audiences in their own site, right? Is that you can tap into the iTunes tools, you can tap into the Windows Media tools, all in a web page,
mm-hmm.
because they've got these JavaScript calls. Our client's doing all the heavy lifting underneath, but it looks like a web experience. Could be cool.
I think it could be a win-win-win. I really
no doubt.
Do. I mean, I seriously, and I'm not saying that. I realize it's kind of a very big project that you would want to undertake, but if you really want traction and you want to beat BitTorrent, I'm telling you, start to mark my words. Mark my words, Travis. The first person to do it and do it well, they're going to win. They're going to win. And you have every opportunity to make it a win for Red Swoosh as well as for the community. You have a huge opportunity right now. Microsoft isn't going to do it.
And, you know, I'm down for that. I mean, that's why I'm launching what I am, and that's why a lot of it, you know, you can go to our site, check out some of the things we've got. We've got a whole developer section where people, you know, are posting their questions. They're putting in sample code, the whole nine.
My issue was it took me forever to download the Red Swoosh client. I'm kidding. It was
possible.
A joke. I know it was a joke because, you know, I was just trying to. You needed a Red Swoosh. The Red Swoosh. I don't know.
You're just trying to get me riled up.
Yeah, kind of.
Trying to get me riled up.
It's what I do.
Well, one of the cool things we did too with this launch, just for fun, is we got the Ninja Guys to ask a Ninja Guys to do a clip exclusive for Red Swoosh, and we swooshed it.
Yeah.
So I did kind of like a cool, like a 30-second little, you know, you can't, anything that Ask a Ninja, you can't, it's just crazy. It's just a crazy Ask a Ninja clip. I don't even know what to say. But we're also pushing that out from our website as a sample file.
Sure.
If you remember the Winamp sample file from back in the day.
Yep.
I want to hear you say it, Chris.
Winamp, Winamp, Winamp. It really whips the llama's ass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Man, you nailed it.
Right.
We basically said, look, we should have a test file that's kind of fun for people. They know that the Swoosh thing worked, the whole nine, but it's more for the Web 2.0 vlogger crowd. And so we got the Ninja to do some really cool stuff.
I don't understand this Web 2.0. I mean, are we sitting here, or do we say that we're in economy 79.0? Do we really? What?
No.
What are we going to do? You know, when the web tanks again, are we going to be Web 3? I mean, dear God, at what point do we have to drop the number?
Hey, look, I'm totally with you.
You know what I'm on? I'm on dinner 8 million point oh right now, tonight. I'm having the 8th million dinner of my life. That's it.
You know, I was pissed off about a year ago about Web 2.0.
Now I'm just like, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
and I'm just like, whatever.
I don't know. I'm gonna fight. I'm still gonna fight. I mean, I think it's. I understand, but I just don't. I'm gonna fight it. So when I know why you're saying it, but it bounces right off me, and I give everybody hell for saying something.
Should just change Web 2.0 and just call it like
just the web. It's just it's the same
web.
Freaking internet. Windows. You know, I mean, I understand it's software. It's something that's changed, but we didn't like change TCP/IP. And even so, I mean, we're going to IPv6. I mean, but we're not going to walk around. It's not. It's. It doesn't.
We don't walk around saying, "Hey, man, this is so IPv6."
Yes, this is what I'm saying. You know, this. I don't. I understand what you're trying to accomplish.
Here's the only angle I can throw out in defense of Web 2.0 term, right? Is if you think of it as like a class of products, right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost like the way you think of a car, right? You know, you have the Audi A6, right? And the Audi A4 and the BMW 325, right? The M3. If you think of it as sort of like a class of products, maybe it's sort of makes sense.
Well, you know, I guess the premise behind this whole new thing, this renaissance, if you will, on the internet, is it supposed to be easier to work with different companies and different people, data interchanges, but I've yet to see it happen. I really, honestly, because everybody's got their own proprietary thing.
Yeah.
My point is that I think you're doing well with the idea of being able to support BitTorrent. Now, my question is what is going to be the first BitTorrent client that's going to support Red Swoosh?
That's a good, you know, I know the first BitTorrent client that's going to support Red Swoosh is going to be ours.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, so what third-party vendor is going to support it? I'm telling you, get uTorrent. I'm telling you, mark my words, get uTorrent. And the others will follow. Mark my words, that is the killer application on the Windows desktop for torrent files.
You know, the next time I get on the show with you, Chris, I'm bringing a pen with me.
I'm like full of feedback. It's just what I do. I exude it.
I'm on it.
I sweat feedback. It's disgusting.
This is good. It
smells a lot like cheese.
Well, I think you need to put one of your clips, push it, put it on your site, see what happens.
You know, I screwed up the Winamp thing. Can I try it again?
I want to hear it again.
Winamp, Winamp, Winamp. It really whips the llama's ass. Meh. I forgot the bass sound.
That's perfect.
Meh. You know, I actually got that guy, or I didn't, but I knew Tom Pepper, who used to work with Winamp years ago, back in Des Moines, Iowa, and I had lunch with him one day, and we were talking. I get home, and he had the guy do an MP3 of with his voice saying "Locker Gnome." So, and I think I still have the MP3, and it's him in the microphone going, "Fear the Locker Gnome, fear the Locker Gnome," and then he does that for a little while, and he goes, "What the hell does that mean, Tom?"
Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.